Blog Talk Radio.
WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go, bride! Our soon-coming king awaits. Welcome to the Clarion Call Show. This is your host tonight, Dr. June Knight. I'm so excited. I'm coming to you right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. And listen, the Clarion Call Show hopes to bring an awareness to the Bride of Christ to prepare them for the army of the living God, what is coming down the pike, to strengthen the army of God and to give them hope for this last hour. Amen. So I am a watchman on the wall called of the Lord to reveal to you what I see in the spirit and to make you aware so that you can be strengthened and to be able to go through what we're about to go through. I am praying that my wisdom will help you to have an understanding, to see past what the media is trying to sell, what the world is trying to sell. So before I get started on scriptures of judgment, tonight's subject is judgment. Tonight we will be talking about, is judgment coming to America? What is happening with the judgment? Also, next week, tune in, because we are focusing next week on the New Age religion. Do you know there is a lot of people that do not understand New Age? They don't understand what tarot cards are. They don't understand the occult. They don't understand yoga. They don't understand what is evil about it. And so I will be addressing those topics. I want to call off some of the topics I will be discussing over these winter months. Let me find it here, just so you'll see what the Clarion Call Show will be talking about. Let me find it here. Here we go. Let me get my glasses on. I am 49, so I need my glasses. Okay. Last week we discussed, what is a clarion call? We talked about it. The clarion call is a sounding the alarm, preparing the bride, preparing them for what is coming. Okay, this week is, what is judgment and is it coming to America? Okay, next week is New Age and yoga. What is New Age? What do we do about it? Now, the next week will be mixing of the churches, mixing the altars, bringing in a leaven, a little leaveneth, leaven, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So the churches that mix the world in with holiness. We're going to talk about that, church. Okay, the next one is, what is the Illuminati? You hear people talk about the Illuminati. What is the Illuminati? What is the Masons? What is wrong with it? Why do we need to be warned as the church? Okay, the next one is, what is witchcraft? Come on now. A lot of people don't understand what witchcraft is. We will be talking about it. What is witchcraft and why is this dangerous to the bride? Why do we need to be aware that there are covens all over the United States that specifically focus on the church? They focus on the bride. So we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to talk about evil symbols. Symbols. Why are symbols important? My master's degree is in marketing and advertising and media, and so I see all these things. I do websites. I do graphic designs. I build things out of symbols, okay? So we're going to talk about why are symbols important and why should we avoid wearing symbols like that on our bodies or participating in that when they have certain meanings, amen? Then we're going to discuss the mark of the beast. Do we understand what the mark of the beast is? Okay, I wrote a whole book on this about the mark of the beast. So the Lord took me to London to show me in London what the mark of the beast was. I wrote a paper on it. I turned it in to the University of Kentucky. Made 100 on it, the grade 100. Not bragging on myself, but just saying I had to put in a lot of hard work with a lot of resources to back up what I was saying. So that's going to be one topic. Then we're going to do a week on martyrdom. What is martyrdom? Are you ready for martyrdom if God chooses to take your life like that? Then we're going to discuss, what is the Antichrist? Who is the Antichrist? Why should we even worry about the Antichrist? We're talking about the end of day subjects. Okay, then we'll be talking about the rapture and Jesus is coming. What does God say about Jesus coming back? Okay, so we will discuss that. Then, what is tribulation time? What is that? What does it mean for us as the church? Then we will be discussing martial law. What is the whole week of martial law? What is martial law? What is that going to do to us as a church? How do we prepare for that? What do we do during that time? Then, what is the spirit of Antichrist? Okay, see, I'm having to teach you these terms so that you understand, and this is a teaching of various occultic things that we need to look for as the bride. We need to be sharp. We need to be aware of the enemy's tactics so we can be fight back so that we're not caught unaware. That's what I feel like the clarion call is. It is to make you aware of what is going on out there. Okay, so this one week will be, what is the spirit of Antichrist? You know, just to let you know up front, the spirit of Antichrist is the kingdom of this world. It is what operates the kingdom of this world. Okay, then the next week will be, what is the false bride? What? There's a false bride? Yes, there is. There is a false bride out there trying to look like the true bride. Okay? And then, which basically the false bride is a whore. She's a whore to God. So we're going to talk about that. And then the next week we'll do, what is humanism? What is humanism and how does that affect us and why does that matter to us as a church? So all those topics, bride, so far there's 16 weeks of topics where I will be teaching you about the occult and about all these other things. So if you have another topic that you would like for me to discuss one week, I would like for you to send me a private message and let me know, and I will be addressing those. Okay, now this week we're talking about judgment, and is it coming to America? Okay, first of all, let me say this, bride. Of course, I am not an expert of eschatology, okay? Yes, I've written books about it. But I'm not like a Perry Stone, you know, where I'm like the full total expert. I'm just sharing with you what the Lord has revealed to me about what is coming. All I'm saying is I'm presenting this information to you. Go back to the Holy Ghost and pray about it. He is our best friend. The Holy Ghost is our superpower. He is the one that helps us in this last hour. Okay, to be able to do what we've got to do. So ask the Holy Spirit. What is Dr. June saying? Is that true? and let the Holy Spirit confirm it to you. Okay, so when we're talking about judgment, we're going to focus on America. As you can see, some of you on Facebook can see my American flag, and the only reason it looks backward is because the camera is facing towards me, so it flips everything backwards. It's really the other way. So I don't want you to think that I'm disrespecting the American flag. That is just how the camera does it. It kind of flips it. Okay, so when we're talking about judgment, I want to talk about what is judgment, okay? Let's read a few scriptures here. Let me say that the Holy Spirit has taught me about God. He's taught me about when God did judgment in the past. And it was so interesting, Bride, the way that he showed it to me. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you help me to reveal it to the bride the way that you showed me. Okay, let's review Noah's judgment back in Noah's day. Okay, now this is in Genesis chapter 6 through chapter 9. Okay, here was the situation in the earth at the time. The earth was filled with violence. The demons had sex with humans and made giants, which was the spirit of perversion. And the judgment thereof was that God destroyed the whole earth because of that. So here's what God showed me through that judgment. Number one, God saw. He saw with his eyes what was happening in the earth. And then he judged. He saw and then he judged. And then God prepared his people and pre-warned them and instructed them on what to do once he gave the ruling that he was going to judge the earth. He revealed to Noah what the judgment will be, okay? And then he instructed his people on what to do during the judgment. Then he prepared the time. Then he gave them preparation time before it hit. In other words, the word says, Bride, that there is nothing happening in the earth that God will not tell his prophets. So the prophets warned the people, and then he gives them time to get ready. God is not just going to up and spring judgment without warning his church. He loves us that much. Come on now. He loves us enough to prepare us so that we're not caught unaware. And remember, Bride, when I prayed for some of you that we would have the same type of anointing, the same type of prayer life over our children, that we would see the enemy coming towards our children and we will block that in prayer. I pray that God will give you that type of prayer life for your children, that you will see the enemy coming and you will pray him off. That's what he did with Noah. He warned Noah, okay? Now, Noah, when God instructed Noah during his preparation time, there was an action that Noah had to take. And what did Noah do? Noah said, "Yes, Lord." Noah obeyed God. When God gave the instructions to build the ark, listen, the water back then did not rain. The water came up out of the earth. Can you imagine God telling you, "I'm going to flood the earth. It's going to rain from heaven, and I'm going to engulf the earth in water, and I'm going to destroy every living thing." Can you imagine what he thought? Wow, I've never seen this happen. I mean, how crazy does that sound when it has not rained from heaven? Okay, but he still obeyed. He obeyed God even though he did not understand what God said when he said how he was going to do it. Okay, so then judgment came after he gave him the instructions. When the judgment came, it was 40 days and 40 nights. And verse 16 in chapter 7, I love this. Let's go over here. Let's go to Genesis 6, verse 16. All right, let's all go back to Genesis, and we're going to discover about judgment and how God is when he judges. He's such a merciful God. Okay, so we're in Genesis chapter 6, which is where I'm at. Okay, and then let's go to, okay, it's chapter 7, verse 16. Here we go. And they that went in, went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. All right. So what does that mean, Brad? It means he obeyed the Lord. And the Lord shut him in. Wow, that was such a powerful scripture. Because he's saying here, son, you obeyed me. You went inside my ark. Even when you don't understand what I'm doing or how I'm going to do it, I'm going to shut you in myself. And he did. And, you know, I think about that judgment when Noah was in the ark. As soon as God shut that door, the rain started falling. He'd never seen this before. Noah has never seen rain fall from heaven. And then Noah is inside the ark, and he's hearing this rain falling, and he's hearing all these people screaming out, "Let me in, let me in." And he's having to experience all this suffering, even though he's safe in the ark, being protected by God. Remember, God shut him in himself. And then he's hearing the destruction of mankind, the wrath of God taking place on the outside of that ark. Can you imagine, Brad, please, how terrible that must have been to hear children, women, husbands, children crying to God, wanting in that ark. Okay, then the judgment came, and it was 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, then came restoration. All right, please hear my heart. God judged. Well, first, God warned. Well, God saw. God judged the earth. He warned Noah. He prepared Noah, even told him what to do during the preparation. Then the judgment came, and then he kept him safe and protected during the judgment, and then he restored the earth. Okay, so I pray that that helps you to see how God's mercy, even though he was judging, okay, even though he was having to pour out his wrath upon the sin, how his people, they were very protected. They were very protected. Okay, now let's look at Sodom and Gomorrah. How did God judge Sodom and Gomorrah? Okay, this was in Genesis chapter 18. Okay, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was very grievous to God. And they came from accusations from the enemy. Wow, isn't that something? Okay, so God heard the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now remember the first one with Noah, God saw, but this time God heard the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah. So God judged, okay? So God talked about it with Abraham. Remember, God come down to the earth with the two other angels. Well, we assume that they're angels, but God said, should I tell Abraham what I'm about to do? Because I really trust him. He's my servant. And do you know he did? God trusted Abraham and told him he was about to judge this city. So Abraham interceded. He interceded and God listened. God wants to show mercy. He does. So the angels went down and investigated the city, and the men in the city wanted to have sex with the angels and Lot. Does that sound like today's times in America, Bride? So the angels pulled Lot in to save him, okay? Blinded the men outside of the door. Okay, here we go again. Another judgment, and God protected, okay? The angels tell Lot to get his family out, that the cry of the city has caused God to have them come and destroy the place, okay? So then God warned and gave instructions. God told Lot, I have come here to judge this city because the sins are so great, and I need you to get your family and get out of here. Okay? So that's how God does. He warns us, and then he protects him. Look, he protected Lot right there. So God gave Lot a chance to save his family, and some of Lot's family thought he was joking. Come on, Brad. How many people today, they act like nothing is coming, they act like that all the sins of America that's happening, all the stench in God's nostrils, all of the laws they're making, the people they're putting in office that are transgender and homosexual, and they're doing all these things to just spit in God's face and to not think that they're hurting a very holy God. That's what they're doing. They're laughing and they're mocking a very holy God, just like what happened with Lot and his family. Okay, so, and some chose not to go with him. Isn't that sad? Now, in chapter 19 and verse 16, this is in Genesis, the Lord was merciful to his own. Let's turn there, Bride. Genesis 19, right now we're in chapter 6. But let's go over here to 19. Okay, I'm in 19. Now let's go to verse 16. Okay, here we go. Let's just start with verse 15. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Wow. The Lord was merciful to his own. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Now, that could be a whole sermon in itself about him wanting to stay in Lot. The battle that was happening in his heart. Remember, first of all, why he even went to Lot. He went to Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, why Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham told him, choose the land you want to go. And he chose the prettiest one, and he went there because it looked so pretty. He got down there with all of his million of people, or ever how many people that he had that he told Abraham was too many to be with him. So he goes down there, and then when all this happens and the judgment came, he only left with his two daughters. Isn't that sad? His wife and two daughters. He came, there were probably 100,000 people or whatever, and he only left with that. That is how morbid the city's sins were. And then even in his heart, he had this battle of even leaving. That is, wow, that is something else. We got to make sure we keep Sodom and Gomorrah out of our hearts. Amen. Okay, but God had mercy upon him, even still. God had mercy on him, and the angels basically dragged him out, okay? And it came to pass, this is verse 17, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for your life, and look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in your sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape there, and my soul shall live. But you know what happened? His wife ended up looking back. She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Yes, she did. That means that she had so much of that city in her that she couldn't stand it without having to look. That's why, Bride, I pray that this broadcast, talking about the judgment coming, that we get all this out. We get this sin, this Sodom and Gomorrah out, this love of the kingdom of this world out of us, so that when it hits, we're not tempted to go back in. We're not tempted to take the mark. We're not tempted to take a part of the worship of Baal and idols that they're creating in our nation. Amen. Okay, so let me go back. Okay, so the Lord was merciful to his own. The angels took them by the hand and basically pushed them out. God listened to Lot when he asked to go to a city versus the mountains. Isn't that something? The angels told him that they cannot execute wrath until Lot and his family are out. God had them protected. Isn't that amazing? Picture this, bride. God sends the angels down there to execute judgment, to destroy a city. But what did God tell them? You cannot touch that city until my people are protected. That's a good, good father. That's a very good father. He is protecting his own. Okay? So, until Lot and his family are out, God's hand of protection. So the city became Zoar. That was the name of the city. God judged. Okay? He judged and rained down hell, fire, and brimstone out of heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed that city. And Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Very sad. God destroyed all inhabitants in the earth in those cities. Isn't that something? I mean, he destroyed the children, the cattle, everything. God never restored this land. Wow. Okay. So then I was thinking about the judgment of the children of Israel. Now, when God judged the children of Israel, let's go over here to Exodus. I was reading this earlier today. You know, they started out in Exodus where the king tried to get the midwives to turn around and kill all the firstborn of the Israelites. Yes, he did. So let's look at that. We're going to see how God brought judgment there. This is a Dake's Bible, and it is huge. So let me turn over here. Okay, Exodus. Here we go. Let's go to Exodus 1. By the way, bride, you can check out more about the Clarion Call Show on WATBRadio.com /Clarion-Call. And then we're also on WATB.TV Clarion Call. Okay, so in Exodus chapter 1, let's read this little part. And the children of Israel, this is verse 7, the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. This is in Egypt. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of Israel are more mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join our enemies and fight against us. So in other words, he was threatened. And said unto them, why have you... Oh, okay, hold on. And the king of Egypt, this verse 15, spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and you see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill them, but if it be a daughter, you shall live. But the midwives feared God. Come on now. We need a revival of the fear of the Lord. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the children alive, the men children. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. I want to tell you by the Spirit, bride, as the days get darker in our country and the enemy tries to infiltrate the bride, okay, tries to get us to serve other idols, tries to get us to serve Baal, tries to get us to do things that are not right, We shall not do that in the name of Jesus. We will be like these midwives in Egypt. Do you hear me? We will trust the Lord. We will fear the Lord more than we fear man, more than we fear all these, the eyes of people. Come on now. We will not fear the eyes of people. And let me tell you, bride, I'm going to tell you this right now. A lot of the persecution coming to the church is coming from the church. Come on now. It's coming from religious leaders who are mixing the world in their churches, and they are intimidated by you walking in holiness and righteousness. So if they try to get you to tempt to do things that God does not say that the Christians should do, we will not do it. And let me tell you what God did to those midwives who honored him and feared him in those dark days in Egypt. God blessed them in the midst of the wrath. All right, listen to what he did. Okay, so the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as Egyptian women, and they're lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. Not only mighty, but very mighty. And it came to pass because the midwives feared God that he made them houses. Isn't that beautiful? God blessed those midwives. I also think of the story of Rahab the harlot. She did what was right, even though she was a harlot. And God saved her in the midst of the destruction of that city. Remember? Do you remember when they came in to destroy that city and she did what was right and God spared her? That is the word for the hour for this show, definitely. Okay, and they made him house, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall keep alive. So he's like, okay, if they're not going to do it, then we're just going to do it ourselves. So what ended up happening, bride? We all know the story of Egypt. What happened? He ended up doing gross labor and treated the children of Israel terrible. They cried out to God. God heard the cries of his people. Okay? So God tells Moses, I want you to go back and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. I am tired of you treating them like this, or I will judge you. The short of the story is this, bride. When he went to Pharaoh, he was not perfect. He asked God to give him help because he's like, I'm just a man. I can't even speak very well. And then God said, okay, I'll give you Aaron. So he gave him a partner, somebody that would help him. Then he went before Pharaoh, and all he did was obey the Lord. Remember Noah? Noah obeyed the Lord. So Moses is obeying the Lord. Moses went and did what God asked him to do. And then when all the judgments came, what did God do with the children of Israel, bride? What did God do in the midst of that wrath? God spared his people. And remember when the angel of death came, God had them place the blood on the doorpost of their house. The blood over the doorpost. And when the angel came, he passed by. But I want you to hear something very clear, bride, because this is where we're heading into, and you need to know this, I'm telling you. When the children of Israel were in their own houses, and they had bread, they had their children, they were protected, all the cries of the people, the screams of the people, when their babies were being killed by these angels. Can you imagine, seriously, hearing the sorrow of the Egyptians? I mean, a lot of them people were just innocent people. They were just serving Pharaoh because that's how Egyptians did it. But God had to judge them because they had hard hearts and would not serve him. So the Israelites are under this protection. They're under the glory. and they're still hearing the cries of the world, and they're having to listen to this, and it's the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, where they sit there, and I just really can't imagine. I can't imagine what Noah had to go through during that wrath. So God ended up delivering those people and taking them out and taking them to the promised land, and you all know the story there. So I want to take a quick little commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about America. Where does America fall in all of this? All right, here we go, Brian. Bride, are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Hey, welcome back, Bride. This is your host tonight, Dr. June Knight, on the Clarion Call Show, and today we are focusing on judgment. We are talking about, on this half of the hour, about judgment in America. Now, there are many different voices out there, Bride. Listen, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you help me to relay this and articulate this, Lord, the way that you have presented it to me, because I want to say this right. There are many different streams that we know of, church. We have the glory stream. We have the more conservative stream. What I mean by streams is different aspects of Christianity, different styles, different voices, different types. You have the ones that they call gloom and doom, which scream judgment and hellfire and brimstone, you know, which is what people say. And then you have the other ones that are the very gracey voices, that are like, everything is fine, you know, there's nothing to worry about, it's going to be bliss tomorrow and all this. And then, like, there's no, some of those voices, it's like there's no repercussions for your sins, so they go off into, you know, doing many types of sins and not feeling the conviction power having to do with that. In other words, there's all different types of voices in this hour saying, some are saying judgment, some are saying not. What I want to present to you tonight is the experience that I've had with the Lord over the past 4 years, and why in my understanding of what is happening and experience of him taking me all over the nation and all the other things that he's done with me, that there is judgment coming. Okay, four and a half years ago, one time I was praying, I was about to preach, and I was praying in the Spirit, and I just started writing, and I wrote my sermon out. And the sermon is in my book, Organic Christianity, Back to the Garden. And he talks about how he wants the church to be ready for what is coming, that the earth is groaning for his return, and he wants his bride to be without spot and wrinkle, and he wants her to be ready. Okay, well then, through all the different ministries that I've served over the next 3 years, traveling and serving these ministries, then he sent me out on the road to do this mega revival tour this year where I traveled the 36 states, 18,000 miles. Okay, while I'm out on the road, the Lord tells me, when I was in Houston, He says, I'm going to show you the sickness in the church. Now, I had already written those two books the year before in Mississippi, where the Lord showed me, he downloaded into me what's coming down the pike. But when I went on the tour, it was confirmation. The Lord showed me what he had told me in the prayer closet, okay? So when I traveled the nation, he told me in Houston, I'm going to show you the sickness in the church. When I traveled the nation all around the country, I saw it. It greatly grieved my spirit. But when I was in Columbus, Ohio, the Lord told me, he said, when you do the northeast region, the New England states, that's what they call them. When you do the New England states, I want you to be led by me. I don't want you to plan anything. I'm going to lead you by the Spirit. So he gave me a dream. And he told me, he said, I want you to go to Niagara Falls, New York. Now, y'all, this is just a little country girl. I haven't been to many states. And, you know, of course, I was driving my old car and having to trust God for gas every day. And he would supernaturally do it. The whole trip was by faith. But he told me to go to Niagara Falls. I ended up reserving a hotel room in Niagara Falls with the last $50 I had. And when I got up there, I did not know it was in Canada. That's a funny story within itself. Niagara Falls, actually, is halfway in Canada and halfway in the United States. So I ended up in Canada. I ended up having to meet with their security because they're like, ma'am, why are you in Canada? And I told them I didn't mean to be. You know, I was like, this was by accident. I didn't know that Niagara Falls was in Canada. So anyways, I ended up at a hotel room in Canada. And the next morning, being that I didn't have any money, I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning because they charged you for parking and everything to go to Niagara Falls, like $20. And so I found a place to park, you know, before they started charging. And I got out and went over there by the falls. And let me tell you, Bride, if you have not seen the Niagara Falls, oh, my goodness. You listen, these falls are magnificent. They are so mighty. They're so big and just, I mean, nature, the beauty of his nature, those falls that it looks like these waters just rush off this mountain. And they're just so mighty. And you just have to stand in awe of it, you know. But he told me to prophesy over the falls. And this is what he had me say, basically, to just sum it up. He told me to pray this. Angels, open the gates to the crystal clear waters from the throne to flood our nation from one end to the other of God's glory and grace and mercy. For the church has muddied the waters of the altar. And the crystal clear waters will come to the earth and will remove the dirt and the stench, basically, from the churches, a cleansing of the churches, a judgment to the house of the Lord. And the Lord told me this, Bride, from the mega to the minor. That's what he said, from the mega to the minor, a judgment's coming. And the crystal clear waters will gut the church, basically. There's a great cleansing coming. Because what the Lord told me in this dream, he said that the church has muddied the altars. Which I'm going to do a whole broadcast on this about the mixing and how bad it is. But the Lord wants the revival to happen as bad as all of us are praying for it and as bad as we want it, but we're not ready. The church is filthy. You know, the church has this stench inside, this basically like vomit, because we've let so much come in and this invasion of the church and these things come in. So these waters that are coming, this judgment, is going to cleanse the church, and they're going to repent. And I want to stress this, Brian, because judgment begins at the house of the Lord, 1 Peter 4:17. for it is time for judgment to begin at the house of the Lord. The Lord wants us to be holy. He wants us to be pure. He wants us to be consecrated. He wants us to not have the spots and wrinkles that are going to hold back the glory. Okay, do you hear me, church? The Lord wants to use us as a conduit for his glory, okay? But he cannot if we're tainted. He can only go so far and he has to stop. He wants to, like, just basically gut us, like, take out this evil that's in us and fill us with the glory and fill us with the beauty and the holiness of his righteousness and the holiness of the glory and the beauty that exudes from his presence and his glory. That's what he wants in the church. And in James 4:4, he says, you cannot be a friend to the world. Let's go, James 4:4. Because while we're turning there, Bride, do you understand that we are in two kingdoms? You have the kingdom of this world, and then you have the kingdom of heaven. And you have to choose which kingdom you're going to be operating in. The kingdom of this world is led by the flesh. The kingdom of this world is led by self. The kingdom of the world is led by the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It is pulling all the resources together to pull all of your gates in. Woo, I feel the presence of the Lord. Come on now. He wants to pull in all of your senses. He wants to pull in your eyes. He wants to pull in your nose. He wants to pull in your mouth, your hands, your feet, and your heart. The kingdom of this world, he wants to lure you in. He wants to pull you out of the glory. He wants to pull you out of what God has for you, the destiny, calling, and purpose. That's what the kingdom of the world, the spirit of Antichrist, wants to do to the bride of Christ. Okay? So, when you walk into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, you are walking in another spirit realm. We are in this world, but we are not of this world, okay? We are in the third heaven. We are seated in heavenly places. We're above principalities and powers. Do you understand that the kingdom of darkness is real? The kingdom of darkness has a hierarchy. They have an army, a hierarchy. I learned all this last summer in Texas when I served under that ministry that travels all over the world and teaches about spiritual warfare and demons and how they work. The principalities and the powers of the air are in the second heaven, which right now you have the first heaven, which is where we're at, and you have the dominion right here above us, which is where the spiritual warfare is taking place. The angels and the demons that are fighting over your very soul is right over your head. Then you have the second heaven. The second heaven is above that. It's in the atmosphere between God and the third heaven and between earth. That is where the principalities and the powers are. What are the principalities and the powers? They're the big dogs. There's the big dogs. I learned this in Texas, that there is seven spirits, seven evil spirits, like there are seven spirits of God. Satan has the same thing, Leviathan, Jezebel. You know, I can't remember all seven of them, but those are the principalities and the powers. And guess what, bride? Guess what? When you walk into the kingdom of heaven, you have dominion and authority over all principalities and powers of the air. Yes, you do, because you are seated in heavenly places. You are an heir of God. You're an heir of the throne. We are the bride of Christ. Yes, we have a ring on it that says that we have authority over all principalities and powers of the air. That is what walking in the kingdom of heaven realm is. Okay? That's why all this chaos that's happening in the earth, all these things, we're above that because we walk in another realm. We will not be affected by that, okay? So that, continuing on. Well, let's go to James 4:4. Remember, we was talking about the bride of Christ and how God wants us to be clean. He wants to clean us out. That's what the judgment coming to the house of the Lord is. It's a cleansing of the church. Because did you know that God loves those that he corrects? He loves those that he rebukes. And you know that you're a son of God when you're getting corrected and rebuked. If you ever get to the point that you don't like being corrected and rebuked, you're backsliding. That's right, because God loves those that he corrects and rebukes. All right, here we go. James 4:4. Here I am. I'm in James. All right, let's read it, Brad. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow. What did we just read about Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah? Was Lot a friend of Sodom and Gomorrah? I dare to say that that's why he was a little reluctant leaving. That was probably why his wife turned around. She was too much of a friend. You know, what does it mean, Bride, when he says a friend? What is a friend? A friend means I am loyal. I kind of like you a whole lot. That's what that is. So, when you are a kingdom, when you're walking in the kingdom of heaven, you are out of that. You are not a friend of the world. You are rejecting it. You do not want to be a part of that. You want to remain separated and consecrated unto God. Okay, so that judgment that's coming is a good thing, Bride, because it is God cleansing his church. You know, I want to talk to you a minute about a good father. When we say that about God, when we sing that song about him being a good father, what does that mean, Bride? You know, when you think about a really good father and he has a son that's erring off, you know, will he not have to discipline that son? Will he not have to say, son, you need to stop that and you need to repent? But then the son may be, like the Bible says, stubborn and hard-necked, which means I don't want to listen to you, God, because I kind of like the life that I'm leading. Well, then God tries again. They continually reject him. So what does a good father have to do then, church? He has to pull his hand back in protection. He has to have tough love. That's what judgment is to the bride of Christ, is tough love, which means, okay, I'm going to have to hand you over and let you see for yourself what is happening. Because listen, church, I'm telling you, the church right now, if we was healthy, okay, if we was pure, holy, consecrated unto the Lord and all this, our country would not be in the shape it's in. I'm telling you, we're sick, which is a reflection of what's happening. These things that happen, the first thing we should do, church, is examine our own self as a body of Christ. My God, that man that went and killed that church, which one of us was not there to reach him? Who did not go love their neighbor? Who did not love him? Who saw this man hurting and refused to minister to this man? You see what I mean? Like, we should be examining ourselves, examining our hearts. You know, that's the thing about the kingdom of this world. They don't want to examine their self. Everything's everybody else's fault. It's the blame game. You know, it's your fault. I'll do unto myself what I want to do. My sin is to me and myself. You're not supposed to judge me. But the kingdom of God, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the searcher of man's heart. We should ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, search my heart. Clean my heart, O God, please. Clean the church. Cleanse us, God. Wash us clean. Heal us. Purge us. You know, take us to the place that you want us to be so that we can have the proper healing, you know, the proper fear of the Lord, so that we can be the representatives that you want us to be, so that the glory can come through this vessel. The glory cannot come through this vessel if the vessel is tainted, okay? So I declare today and I submit today, church, that that is what is happening in the earth. And I pray that the bride, that she will repent, that she will examine herself, and we will be able to have God clean our hearts before he has to do it openly. Do you hear me? The Lord never wants to expose people. He wants you to just, he'll deal with you first. He wants you to repent. These great big ministers that have been exposed in years past, do you know that the Lord tried several times to talk to them and to try to convince them that they need to repent and turn from that and that he would have mercy? You know, he even told me one time I was going to sin and do something. And you know, this many years ago. And honey, the Lord told me, he said, if you do that, I will expose you. Yes, he did. Because I thought I was being sneaky. But the Lord let me know I was not. So the Lord does not want to expose. He wants to forgive and heal. But if we're stiff and hard-necked, then he will have to expose to kind of whip you into shape so that you can see the condition of your heart. That is his mercy. Judgment is mercy. He is wooing his bride back to him. He's wooing her back, saying, come back to your first love. Quit loving the world more than you love me. And let me restore you to the place that I have for you, because my kingdom is so much better and the devil is a liar. So, bride, I'm going to end this broadcast today. What an awesome broadcast. Woo! I feel the fire of the Lord. Yes. Lord, do what you're going to do in our country, Lord, because we trust you through it all. We are holding your hand, and we're not letting go. No matter what you do in our country, we are trusting you, Lord. And since we learned about what God did in all the judgments, what he did with Noah, how he protected Noah, how Noah was in the ark and was protected, how God protected Lot. He protected him with those angels, took him out while the wrath took place. What he did with the children of Israel, how he protected the children of Israel, God will do the same. He will protect us through anything. We do not have to fear, bride. If you don't get anything else I said today, we don't have to fear. We trust in the Lord, but examine our hearts today. All right, bride, God bless you. I will see you next week. What did I say is our subject next week? Oh, New Age. Next week we're going to discuss the New Age religion, the false religion, and yoga. We're going to discuss it. So you will see what it is, and you'll be able to make a wise decision. Oh, I wanted to play this little clip before we go. This is Jonathan Cahn talking about America. Hold on, let me make sure my computer is off mute. All right, here we go.
This American civilization was conceived, established, dedicated, and founded on a biblical cornerstone. America was brought into existence for the will and the purpose of God. On this night, over 200 years ago, George Washington held in his hand the first ever presidential address. In that address was a prophetic warning. It was this: the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself hath ordained. In other words, if America should ever turn away from God and his ways, should ever disregard his eternal rules of order and right, then his blessings, the smiles of heaven, would be removed from the land. And now we gather in the city named after the one who gave us the prophetic warning. And yesterday in this city, in the building that sits across from this hill, the justices of the Supreme Court took up their places on the bench to decide whether America should strike down the biblical and historic definition of marriage. The very fact that an event should take place as such is a sign in itself that this is the America of Washington's warning. It's here. and this day of which he warned is now. We have
All right, Bride. Well, I love you. God bless you, and I pray that you have a wonderful evening.